Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Comedy Off-Broadway in Lexington welcomes Clayton English November 10th through the 12th. Then catch Donnie Baker and the Pork Pistols November 17th through the 20th. And don't miss Lee Cruz November 25th and 26th. Comedy Off-Broadway opened in downtown Lexington in 1987. And they're still bringing the best in stand-up comedy to the area 35 years later. For tickets, call 859-271-JOKE or visit comedyoffbroadway.com.
Comedy Off-Broadway.
This is Kentucky Sports Radio, presented by Stockton Mortgage. Now, here's Matt Jones.
Welcome, everyone. Kentucky Sports Radio, Tuesday, November the 22nd. I am Matt Jones here on a beautiful day in Lexington, Kentucky. The weather's starting to get a little better. It's nice, and we are here at the KS Bar and Grill, where we'd love to have you. We open up here at 11. Matt Jones, Ryan Lemon, Drew Franklin, and Shannon the Dude. You can give us a shout on the Clark's Pump and Shop phone line, 502-571-1080. A-Vision Auto Glass Text Machine, 772-774-5254. In this edition, sponsored by the T.J. Smith Law Office. If you call T.J., he's a personal injury lawyer, and he'll make them pay. Yesterday, we were here. It was a very exciting day. The United States played Wales. We had a great crowd here for that game, and we had a great show. But yesterday, on these airwaves, this was said.
This is tomorrow. I'm going to do the two games before we come on the air. Argentina versus Saudi Arabia, a 5 a.m. kick.
Well, I'm going to say I kind of like Saudi Arabia in this because I feel like their soldiers probably have to get up really early in the morning, so they'll be okay for that 5 a.m. kickoff.
Soldiers?
You know, Saudi Arabia military. Very, you know, everybody has
but these
to join
guys
the
are not in the military. Yeah, this is the soccer team.
Have some military experience.
But you base that on what?
Saudi Arabia.
You think everybody there is in the military?
Yeah. I think you have to spend time in the military. In the mandatory. Country.
Do you know that you have to spend time in the military in Saudi Arabia, or are you just saying that?
I am just saying it 100%.
Let's look it up. Do you have to spend time in the... First of all, does Saudi Arabia even have a military? I don't know that I've ever even seen a Saudi Arabian military. Have you?
Very strict. Yeah, they make you do...
Don't we always go over there in part because Kuwait and those countries can't... Can't defend themselves?
They make their dudes do up-downs like at 6 in the morning.
This is a very brief Google search, so I'm not positive, but it looks like it's voluntary military service.
Voluntary. It used to be, I think, mandatory.
It used to be. Yeah. And it changed?
It's one of the best funded in the world.
Okay, well, there you go. Yeah. So you're taking Saudi Arabia. You know, Argentina, by the way, will be a heavy favorite in this game. Messi is one of the best players in the world and is on Argentina. I would venture to say they are a heavy favorite. You're picking the upset.
I think I'm going with the upset here. Yeah, I think Messi's going to get a pull a hammy early on.
Oh, you got Messi's going to get hurt.
Yeah,
What if I told you Argentina had the second best odds in the whole field and Saudi Arabia had the worst?
Oh, well, maybe I should.
It's probably the biggest upset of the entire tournament.
It would literally be a stunner. Saudi Arabia, the worst team in the tournament. Argentina, the second best, and you're picking the upset and an injury to Argentina's best player.
Yeah, maybe I should have researched this a little more.
You know what I have to
bet? What'd you say, Shannon?
The St. Peter's of the World Cup.
They are. Oh, so you're going St. Peter's of the World Cup.
They're my St. Peter's.
They're plus 1,600. I got to
plus 1,600.
Just in case Ron's
folks,
right.
Folks, put all your money on the Saudi Arabian military. All right, there you go. So we said put all your money. And this morning, in what some are calling the biggest upset in the history of the World Cup, Saudi Arabia beats Argentina, and Ryan Lemon called it. Give him a round of applause.
Unbelievable.
Well, you could hear all the research that I had on the Saudi Arabia soccer team. So, Argentina, you know, they had no offense identity. They had crazy substitution patterns. Missed some free throws down the stretch, and Saudi Arabia just steady, had good three guards and kind of outplayed Argentina's three guards, so that was it.
heck of a win. I woke up to tons of messages. You said Argentina was going to lose. Literally, there are people saying one of, if not the biggest upsets of all time. And you, our soccer guru, called it. Shannon, can you believe it?
Unbelievable. Ryan knows nothing about soccer, but somehow picked the biggest upset ever.
Or else he knows everything about soccer, Drew, and anything. We didn't know it.
Exactly. What do you mean he doesn't know anything? Clearly knows everything. I think at this point we actually need a bracket and just follow Ryan. I know we were going to do it anyway, but now I'm taking it very seriously.
Did you end up betting it? You said you were going to.
I owe Ryan. I got 160. Probably owe you. I'll figure something out there. It actually went off at 22-1 at kickoff, so I got bad odds there, but I mean, and they're like Matt said, they're calling it the biggest upset in World Cup history, and you called it.
Well, you tried to tell everybody the last thing we heard there on that clip, put all your money on Saudi Arabia. We tried to help people yesterday.
This is
now what you have to do. You have to do updates.
Let's say Shannon got this cut off four times.
Yes,
go ahead.
This is the equivalent of the person in your office pool during March Madness,
yes,
who knows nothing, yep, about college basketball, picks the teams based on their colors or their mascot, and ends up winning the whole thing.
That's, yep, exactly right.
Yeah. Or so, their military.
So you, now, at the end, we didn't play this part of the clip. At the end of the clip, there were two things that were said. Number one, we said, Drew said that he would join the Saudi Arabian military,
yes,
if they won.
At 7 a.m. this morning, I Googled how to do that. Looks a little more complicated than I thought, but I'm not a complete no yet.
It would be nice if right after your wedding, you said to Abby, sorry, we have to move to, I don't know a town in Saudi Arabia, but I feel like El Shabaab, is that a place?
Go for it.
Either way, you got to go there and join the Saudi Arabian military.
You all were at my wedding. Honesty was a big part of my vows. Yes. I told you I've joined the military. I will do my service if they will let me in.
Shannon, I want you to find, there's a clip that's floating online of the Saudi Arabian call of the win. Okay?
Okay.
See if you can find that for me. Okay. There's a clip of the Saudi Arabians celebrating the goal, I think, that took the lead. And then the second thing we said is that you and I, Drew, would do up-downs, because, mm-hmm, you said Saudi Arabia did a lot of up-downs. So yeah. I'm not dressed for it today, but tomorrow we will do, Drew and I will do up-downs in honor of Saudi Arabia.
Well, very respectful if you guys going to fulfill your little bet we
made. No, you fulfill your bets. That's part of, that's part of life.
Very respectful.
I thought we were doing them today, so I already took like 10 ibuprofen to get ready for them, but I can hold off till tomorrow.
By the way, there is nothing I hate more than up down.
No kidding.
It's to the point that I told my trainer, I'm like, I don't do those.
No.
So you're going to see, people have been writing me saying, oh, we get to see if the push pull. I'm going to be terrible at it. I hate it, and I'm not good at it, and it's going to be awful.
I know of two forms of up downs. Are we doing like the football style where you're running and you go to your belly, or the yoga style where you kind of kick your legs back?
No, I think we're doing the thing where you just go up and down. There's no running that I know of.
Usually, you go down, you put your hands on the floor, you kick your legs back,
okay,
you do a push-up, and then you come back up.
Football, when you like fall on your belly and pop back up.
Yeah, we're not doing all that. We're not doing all that. All right, so Shannon has the call of the Saudi Arabian goal.
Here we go.
This upset, dude, this excited.
You gotta have a lot of energy to be a soccer announcer.
It's not like he didn't even take a breath that
whole
time.
You don't need to understand one lick of Saudi Arabian language, Arabic. And that is awesome. That is incredible.
That was the Otis of Saudi Arabia right there.
That was amazing. That was the Otis, Shannon. That's exactly right.
That was great.
So, and now Argentina, you know, I mean, they thought they were going to win the World Cup, and now everybody is just up in arms and upset at Argentina. So what happens now for them?
Well, I anxiously await their coach's show tonight, because their fans will not be happy.
The coach's show.
Yeah, he's got to explain a lot of things.
Well, he said Messi didn't know the place, and that was a big part of the problem.
Why did he throw him under the bus like
I
that?
I wouldn't have thought he would. Messi was the only one that scored, and he still said he didn't know the place.
Yeah, I think Cal would have played two goalies instead of two scores.
I wouldn't have played. Well, would have played two goalies. I like that. 502 or 8592. What am I talking about? 502-571-1080. We will get your other predictions a little later because I'm sure you have. There's more games, Rick. You're on a heater.
I was thinking about retiring, officially retiring after that, and
walking. No, I think there's more to do. All right, so we had both a Cal call-in show,
yes,
and a Stoops call-in show last
yes.
night. And so I think the Cal call-in show probably gave more news. Cal sort of tried to calm everyone down, said, hey, this team can still be good. You know, things happen. He reiterated the, you know, haven't gotten to practice, all that stuff. He also was talking about some things he might do. At one point, he said he thought he might play Lance Ware at the four with Oscar at the five. Quickly, good idea, bad idea?
Horribly bad idea. I mean, I've watched everybody on Twitter going on about it. I figured there had to be some misunderstanding. There's no way he said that. But everybody said, no, that's what he said.
Well, there's a clip. I mean, you can hear the clip. Now, apparently there's some context that somebody called and said, what if you're playing a team with two bigs? But I still don't think, Drew, there's any scenario. First of all, other teams don't play two bigs. Like, we're the only team that does that. But the second thing is, there's no world in which Lance Ware at the four is a way to play basketball.
I didn't listen to the show just because I wasn't ready yet to hear more of that. But then after people were tweeting us, I did go back this morning and listen to the entire show to give Cal a little bit of an out. The caller was, what about when you play a team with two bigs? But he seemed way too excited to say he wants to start playing Ware and Oscar together. I think he might have already had that thought without the caller saying it.
No,
but
please.
It did come up because the caller said playing bigger lineups.
I cannot imagine if they did that, how bad that would be. But nevertheless, Cal still remains positive about everything. So I guess my question is, where do you – yesterday – there was I went to the Transy Center game, which, by the way, was a great game.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, the Transy Center game was very entertaining. Those two teams, it was really, really – it was a really fun basketball game to watch. Transy won. Very exciting. Place was packed. But I had a lot of people coming up to me and wanting to talk, and it felt like everybody was just so put out with everything UK basketball. I guess my question is this. Where do you think the average fan, Drew, is right now? And I'm not just talking about the ones that are angry, the ones that are kind, just the average fan. Where do you think the average fan is right now with Kentucky basketball?
I mean, very disappointed. For the last couple of years, we've heard a lot of negativity coming our way, but it's still not been a big chunk of people. I was all over town yesterday. That's all anyone would talk about is how mad and disappointed and almost like, what is this season going to be? We thought it was going to be special, and here it is. We're 2 weeks into the year, and we're already upset again. I think the majority is disappointed. I don't know how many people are, you know, over Cal and all that, but it's just the mood couldn't be lower right now with the expectations we had and how the season has started because no one cares about beating South Carolina State. They're 0-2. Those other games don't matter. They are 0-2 in games that matter.
I kind of agree with Drew. I think the fan base is getting very, very discouraged over what's happened the last couple seasons. And then this year we go in, we think, hey, man, this is the year we're back. We're going to go to the Final Four. We may only lose three or four games. And right out of the gate, I can live with the Michigan State loss. I can live with that one. But, man, I cannot get over the lack of effort and the lack of juice in the Gonzaga game.
Well, I can live with either of those losses. In some ways, I can't live with both of them. Like, I'm just kind of back to – this is Kentucky. We got to win some of these games. We don't win these games. I mean, yes, last year we beat Kansas, and that was a great win. And last year we destroyed Tennessee,
yep,
and that was a great win. But I still feel like we are rationalizing losing too much. And some of that, I mean, I've rationalized losing some, but I don't know. There's you can't just go get beat. You know, did you see the thing? Kentucky's played in like 18 or 19 matchups in its history where both teams were in the top five, and that's our worst loss, or second worst loss. The first worst loss was when Zion beat us by 35.
Oh, yeah.
But it was our second worst loss when both teams are ranked in the top
five. No kidding.
Yeah.
I hate those stats that keep floating around, you know, the record you brought out the other day about top 25 teams and no Final Four since then, no national championships since then. Just all this stuff keeps coming out. Like, man, we are Kentucky basketball. We should be the guys on the other end of those stats, not the back end of it.
Well, 502-571-1080. It's the best of times, worst of times. We have the best soccer prognosticator apparently in the world that picks upsets that no one else could have seen. But we also have a difficult basketball team. We will take your calls. We'll be right back. We are here at KS Bar. This is Kentucky Sports Radio.
To talk to Matt Jones and the crew, call the Clark's Pump and Shop phone line at 502-571-1080 or 1-877-904-1080 or send us the Kentucky branded KSR tweet of the day by tweeting Matt at KY Sports Radio.
A seven nation army couldn't hold me back. They're gonna rip it.
Welcome back, Kentucky Sports Radio, 502-571-1080. Text machine 772-774-5254. At KY Sports Radio, a lot of people writing in congratulating you.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, hopefully they'll, you know, I'm thinking about starting a blog post about soccer.
You should. I think people would like it. Yeah. John says, Matt, you haven't heard about what's been happening in Yemen over the past decade? You didn't know Saudi Arabia had a military? I love that you remind me that you don't know anything about geopolitics. Hey, John, shut up. That's my answer to that.
Well,
I'll put my knowledge of what's happening in the world up with 99% of people. Now, there are people who know more than me. Maybe you're one of them, John. But you, the people who write and they're like, oh, you didn't know, blah, blah, blah. I can give you a lot of stuff, Shannon. He didn't know, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's different things people know. So, you know what? I'm not saying I know more than everybody. If I went on Jeopardy, there'd be a lot of people better than me at it. But shut up about what's happening with Yemen and Saudi. That's a fun segment, and you sit there and be a snot about it. We're just enjoying ourselves,
yes.
And everybody goes nuts.
Shut up, John.
Shut up, John. That's what I'm just going to say. That's my stop for everything. Shut up, John.
No. You were in such a good, happy mood.
Oh, I'm still in a happy mood. Okay. I'm not really upset. Some cities in Saudi Arabia. Riyadh, Dharan, and Mecca. Which one of those do you want to live in during your Saudi Arabian military stint?
Well, I assume they'll send me off somewhere to be stationed. I'm pretty, you know.
You're fine going anywhere?
I didn't really expect this at all in my life, so whatever's next, I think I'm just in for.
You're good with whatever, right?
No, I did. Michael Leonard points out on the text machine that Ryan talked about them, you know, the military experience being up early. Kickoff was at 3 p.m. yesterday in Qatar. I feel like that's another, your expertise
so,
there.
So that's, yeah. So 5 a.m. is 3 p.m.?
According to the text
machine.
Okay,
so that means 8. Okay, so let me do this. If 5 a.m. is 3 p.m., that means the game's at 8 a.m. or at 6 p.m. That means the game's at 11 a.m. or at 9 p.m. Does that mean when we played yesterday at 2 p.m., it was at midnight?
It was late. That doesn't seem right. I feel like someone told me it was 10 p.m. Maybe it's 8 hours.
Okay, 10 would make more.
Whatever it was, it was very late to them last night when we
came. I can't imagine they'd kick that thing off at midnight, local time. But they may be doing it because they want people in Europe and America to be able to watch it, probably.
Watch it live, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I kind of like, though, all the games really late at night. I don't know. But, yes, 5 a.m. would be a little bit different. Before we go to the phones, I want to talk just a second about – We mentioned the Stoops raise yesterday. On his call-in show, he was almost apologetic about it. Did you notice?
I didn't hear it.
Both on the call-in show and in his press conference, he was almost apologetic. He was almost like, I feel bad for Mitch Barnhart and Capiluto because they signed this when things were going well, and then we went and lost to Vanderbilt. And I feel bad that happened. There's been a lot. We looked it up. Kentucky pays the second most for basketball and football combined. Do you know what's first?
No.
Michigan State.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They
Because they gave Mel Tucker a ton of money, and Izzo makes a lot, too. So Michigan State. But it's only like by like $300,000. It's a very small amount. So we're the second most. And there's been a lot of chatter about, well, what are we getting for this? I actually don't really have a problem with the salaries. I mean, Drew actually almost changed my mind on this stuff a few years ago when he was like, well, it's not my money. And there's
just a number.
And it is kind of just a number. Like, it should coaches make that much? No, they should not. But at the same time, if that's what they make and you're wanting to have the best coaches, then that's what they make. You know, I mean, like, the market is what it is. We can say what it quote unquote should be, but it is what it is. So it doesn't really bother me. Stoops said at one point he'd like to be able to give some of that money to the collective. And he was like, He said he wasn't allowed to, but people online looked up, and I'm not sure he's not allowed to.
Oh, really?
Wouldn't that be interesting if that ended up happening? Or if that was one of those he said it thinking he was not allowed to, and then everybody's like, you know what, coach, you're allowed to. And he's like, no, I didn't say that. Never mind.
If only he had a bourbon company, he could launder it through.
True.
That's actually a really interesting point.
Yeah.
What do you, are you good with these extravagant salaries now? We're paying almost $18 million for two coaches.
Well, like we talked about to start with, that Stoops worth every penny to me. What he's done for this football
program. Well, if Stoops is, then Cal is too.
Oh, and there's no doubt. They both are deserving of these ridiculously high. I mean, it's whatever the market demands. It's like, you know, in the housing industry, what the market demands, and that's the same thing with these coaches' salaries.
Yeah, I'm off. I don't know UK's books. I don't know how bad that's putting us out. But I know that, you know, Stoops has been frustrated with some support on other things here lately. And I don't think he's going to leave. But I like that he is re-signed. And
well, he said, this is my home now. Yeah. That was his quote yesterday.
So whatever
this is
that
my
takes.
Home now. Yeah, so I think it all, if anybody was worried about him leaving, I think that's gone at this point. You know, it's a lot of money. I mean, it is. But, again, if it's what the market takes, it's what it takes. Yeah. And I don't think you're going to go find two guys right off the bat that are going to be better. Now, it's a terrible time for it to come out because of all that's going on. I mean, it is. It's a terrible time. But, you know, people say, well, a coach doesn't deserve that. Well, no. But, you know, Bill Gates and Elon Musk don't deserve $100 billion, but that's just the world we live in, unfortunately.
I mean, Coach Stoops have helped bring in millions of dollars to this school by developing this football program and getting to the point where, you know, we go to the game, we enjoy the game, we buy our season tickets, you know, because of Stoops' success he's had. So
but I will say this, if you're going to make that amount of money, you better be okay being criticized.
Yeah.
And that's a problem, at least with one of the coaches. You got to be okay. You can't make $8.5 million and say, hey, everybody, shut up. You just can't, because it is a public trust in some ways, right? Like, it is a public trust. A private business can do whatever they want, but this isn't you're coaching a school.
Yeah.
And so you make that money, I'm fine with you making it, but you criticism's going to come with that, and you can't recoil to that, in my opinion.
Now, more of Kentucky Sports Radio presented by Stockton Mortgage. Here's Matt Jones.
Welcome back. Kentucky Sports Radio, 502-571-1080. Text machine 772-774-5254. One person writes, Matt, did you hear the caller ask Stoops if he likes working in an industry that rewards poor performance?
Oh.
I did not hear that.
Ooh.
Is that what was said?
I don't know. I didn't hear it.
Yeah, I got some messages about that, but I didn't hear it myself.
Shannon, you heard it?
No, I didn't hear it, but Billy produces that, and he was telling me that's what happened on
Well, that
on
he
the
would
show.
Know, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Whoa.
Well, I mean, look, you know, that's part of it, too. I mean, that's the one time fans get to say something.
Yeah.
You know, and that's part, and a big part of your salary oddly comes from doing that stupid show. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they pay a big, that's part of the JMI, part of the deal. Is doing that show, so, you know, that's part of it. I don't think I would say that to him, but sometimes you got to listen to that.
And, you know, like you said earlier, if you're going to make that kind of money and sit in that chair, you got to be willing to take some criticism when it's warranted, and you're coming off that horrible loss to Vandy, and this season's not what we all thought it was going to be. I think you got to be thick-skinned enough to take it.
502-571-1080 at KY Sports Radio. One person writes, Matt, you've got to talk about what happened with Kyle Tucker yesterday. It's 30 minutes in. How long do I have to wait? I'll talk about it start the second hour.
Okay.
Because I want to, you know, give a little context to it. But, you know, if you're expecting me to blast him, I'm not going to do that. But, like, I do at least want to, you know, give a little bit of a comment.
Yeah, when I saw you last night at the transit game, I'm like, what was up with that?
I don't know. You talk about just catching strays coming out of nowhere. I was like, I just got out of the gym. I was feeling good. I'd pushed. I'd pulled.
And, you yoga'd?
Oh, well, no. The yoga that I did yoga Sunday night.
Oh, okay.
This is Thanksgiving week. My yoga teacher's out of town. Who's up next?
Let's go to Chuck.
Chuck, how are you, Chuck?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's going on?
I just got one quick comment about Cal. I just really wish that we could go back to having hungry young Cal instead of complacent quote unquote swaggy Cal. Like, he comes out and he says these things in the interviews. It's not funny. It's not cute. I'm not anti Cal. I love Coach Cal. I just wish we could get that hunger and fire back in him like he had in the early years. Just trying to prove something.
You know, it's interesting. I do think there is a difference in Cal from his first few years to now, but I don't think that it's not that he's hungry. And I appreciate the call, Chuck. I don't see it necessarily like that. I think there was, for me, there was a Cal when he first got here that had a, like, wanted to win everyone over. He wanted to win games, to stick it in the media and his haters' eyes. Then Pitino was here, and he wanted to just destroy Rick Pitino, and that was part of it. And then, you know, he wanted our fan base. He loved finally having a fan base that would go to war for him. I mean, I think our good relationship came in large part because I would go to war for the guy, right? And he loved that. I feel like now he's almost shifted into a – he's had success. And now it's almost like he's trying to keep everybody away. Like, I've had success. Leave me alone, Cal. And that Cal is much harder to, like, go to war for than the Cal who's out there going for it. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we all agree with you. You know, when Pitino was here, that's when he was at his best, was he not? Pitino leaves, and, like, it seems like...
Well, he was good, though, even... Well, I guess Rick was there when he got there. But even... But you're right. I think he... We've said this over and over, Drew. He's got to have an enemy. He likes having an enemy. The enemy, when he first got here, was the national media. Pat Forty, Pete Thamel, Jeff Goodman. That was his enemy. Then it sort of, as Rick kind of got Louisville going, it became Rick, okay? And it became beating Louisville. And then there was a little bit of, like, Calhoun, Bruce Pearl. There was a bunch of... And I don't... I've said this. I feel like in the last couple years, it's become like us. And I don't just mean me and you. I mean like the fans. Like almost like he wants to show the fans, we'll play my way and we'll win and you all will eat it. And it's like, we're on your side, man. We love you. Like, we're not fighting with you. Like, that's how it at least feels to me sometimes.
I agree with that a little bit. Like, when Alabama had the year they're hot and shooting threes, he would just mock, oh, you want threes? You know, I mean, the Alabama style showing that 1 year was a one-off. But he got very defensive about Alabama and our fans.
And when we beat Alabama that year,
he was like, look at that. Where's your 25 threes a game now?
Yeah.
And even on, like, last night's call-in show, a caller called in, very nice, said, I'm going to the game Wednesday night. Good luck. Love the team. But was like, sometimes you don't seem to put enough shooters on the floor. And these are very – you know, normal questions to ask, but he seems to get defensive about that. And it's like, we all want Kentucky to win. These are suggestions. We're not telling you you're a complete idiot. It's just we're all wanting to be on the same page here.
It feels like he, when he first was here, looked at himself as the leader of the Big Blue Army. And now he almost looks like the leader of a country where a lot of the country he feels like doesn't like him, and he's telling them that they are ruining America. And it's like, hey, man, we're on your side. You know what I mean? We're on your side. And But at the same time, I said this to somebody in the offseason. I'm like, he's better if he's fired up and has somebody to go against. If that has to be us, then I guess it has to be us as long as we're winning, Ryan, you know?
Well, we talked about, you know, this summer how after the St. Peter's loss, he seemed to do a lot of right things over the summer trying to get the fan base back on board with him. You know, the tour and...
He did great stuff.
He did great stuff. Trying to, you know, bring Midnight Madness.
Raised a ton of money for both the tornado and the floods.
But then we kind of said, but yeah, he still has to win. You know, we can be back on board, but you still got to go out and win. I mean, it's going to be, over a month before they're really challenged again. We got a lot of cupcakes.
Well, I mean, UCLA is good.
I forgot about the UCLA game.
That's a good – but in general, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
He knows a billion times more than I will ever know. I'm not even going to pretend to act like I know anything better than John Calipari. But, like, hearing his show last night, someone asked a very – I think was a great question. Like, you say they're not ready, but you had these additional practices. You went to the Bahamas. What did you get out of that? He's like, well, the Bahamas wasn't really about basketball. It was about team building. And I'm sitting there listening, like, you can team build in Lexington. The NCAA gave you these practices. Yeah, aren't you supposed to be doing basketball? Like, they allotted you more hours. And he's like, it was more about.
I didn't hear that.
But yeah, he said it was more about getting the guys to know each other. They can do that at the movie theater. Like, you had these practices. What was actually practiced? Were we sitting in a circle saying our favorite color and what high school we went to? Or are we trying to do things? And it sounded like, at least his explanation last night was, the Bahamas wasn't even about competition. It was about about the guys getting together.
Well, I didn't hear that, but that's also
But see, that's the thing where, I mean, he knows how to coach a team better than me, but I'm sitting there listening like, well, why wouldn't you take advantage
I can't,
of that?
The other thing is, these teams we're playing have not practiced more than us. They've actually probably practiced less. I mean, it's not like we're playing the 96 Bulls. You know, we're playing Michigan State. We're playing Gonzaga. Like, we're not playing the – that's the part. It's just – it just feels like excuses, man. Like, just
like
say –
2020.
You know what I want to hear him say? Because somebody said this to Matt. Matt, what could he have said? Here's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see him come out and go, that was unacceptable.
Yep.
This is not the way Kentucky basketball plays. It's on me. It's on the players. And we're going to fix it. This is not – I'm not coming here to lose by 16. It is unacceptable. People say sometimes, like, Matt, you don't get as mad at Stoops after the games because he says stuff like that. That's what he says. He comes out and says, we didn't do it. I didn't do it. I'd love to see Cal say, I got outcoached. Whether he believes that or not, there is a catharsis to actually sometimes saying, I'm not perfect. And again, I'll just use my own personal thing. Like, it's not bad to say, I'm sorry. And it's not bad to say, my bad. And, like, some people just don't want to say that. And I think Ryan, it would help him to do it.
I agree with you. If he'd come out and said that after the Gonzaga game, we're having a whole different conversation, today, no doubt. And Stoops, after the Vandy loss, he did take responsibility. He did say he got out coached, you know, because you're right. He steps up and says those things. But if Cal would handle a little different, I do think we would view all this a completely different way.
Who's up next?
Red.
Red, how are you, Red?
Doing good, gentlemen. Kent, I need some advice. I do a little small betting through a local bookie, but I've got me an account set up on FanDuel so I can do it that way. Can y'all give me any advice that would help me out?
Well, I mean, that's a broad question. You mean in terms of, like, how to set it up or what games to bet on?
I guess what games to bet on.
Bet on Saudi Arabia.
Bet on Saudi Arabia. You know, I would say to you, don't bet on the NFL because it's a coin flip. I think you can make money on the NBA, but look right before the game and see who's playing. All right, meaning what players are playing. Like who's active and not, because that changes so much. I think the way – now that college – to me – college football home teams on Moneyline parlays are the way to make money. I've crushed it this year doing that. Moneyline parlays, college football with home teams. That's what I do. College basketball.
One more quick question.
Okay, let me finish. College basketball, my view is, Drew, never bet a road team. And you've taught me in-game betting.
Oh, that's almost all
in-game
I do.
In-game betting. If Kentucky is at home against, like, Ole Miss, and they get down 8 in the first half, go load up on Kentucky because they're going to come back and win. Like, get the best teams and wait till they get down. The odds will flip in your favor, and then go bet on them in-game. That's where I think there is money to be made in college basketball.
I see what you're saying. And my last question is, when does the baseball season start for Kentucky?
February.
Yeah. There you go. Look at Shannon.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Shannon. Appreciate the call.
I love live betting.
Live betting
over
half
my bets. I wait till the game starts before I even think about
it. In college basketball, that one year, man, I did it with you, like when you started doing it. And Kentucky would fall down. I think it was the Maxey year. They would fall down at the beginning of the first half every single game in Rupp Arena, and then they would come back and win. And that was the way to do it.
Obviously, I'm not in it, but I like those, like, when you'll say, hey, man, they've got Euless with 2 steals, you know, and you can bet on just individual stuff. Like, yeah.
Yeah, those are good. Well, like yesterday, Louisville, with like 4 or 5 minutes to go, was down like 5 to Arkansas. And you knew Arkansas was going to blow them out. So instead of having Arkansas, I think, going in the game, what, they have 20-point favorite?
15.
I think it went down to like 11. And then you bet Arkansas, right? Because like you knew they're gonna pull away, and it's things like that when you actually know the team that I think Drew's live for me. Moneyline parlays for home teams in college football and in-game college basketball is where to make money. That's really, I think everything else you're just basically flipping a coin. Athlete Advantage. We've talked a lot about these collectives. Kentucky football needs it. Kentucky15.com, Kentucky15.com. They have subscription-based services. There's going to be a lot of events coming up. Some of them will be at this bar. There's a big one coming up in January, and you will be able to meet players. If JMI ever stops acting idiotic, you might actually be able to meet coaches, too. It's Kentucky15.com, the way to help the Kentucky football program. A lot of you have signed up. They're going to need more, but it's been a good start. But they're going to need a lot more for this to succeed. Go to Kentucky15.com, Kentucky15.com. And Stoops basically said that yesterday. We'll talk more about what he said later. We'll take a break. Be right back. It's KS Bar, or KS.
To talk to Matt Jones and the crew, call the Clark's Pump and Shop phone line at 502-571-1080 or 1-877-904-1080.
Sports Radio, 502-571-1080. Text machine is 772-774-5254. One person writes, Matt, I agree, it seems Calipari sometimes has gone to war with the fans, but do you think some of this is also UK fans just getting fatigue and liking change in general? No, because if we were winning,
yeah.
I mean, look, if we were winning, listen, none of this we're talking about matters if they're winning. If they're winning, he doesn't have to do anything we say. This is really advice when you're struggling. Because when you're winning, you can do anything. No one's going to care, honestly.
You beat Michigan State, you beat Gonzaga.
If you beat Michigan State, you beat Gonzaga. He could have taken the phone calls and gone, all of you are snotheads, shut up, I'm playing basketball. And most people would have gone, all right, you're winning, it's
where
fine.
We just laugh, say, oh, it's just Cal.
That's just Cal. Well, I've had people say to me, Cal says the same stuff now that he did before. Some of that's true, but it hits different when you're losing, Drew.
Yep.
It hits a little different. Like, you basketball bennies is funny when we're 38-1. But when we're 9-16, it doesn't sound the same.
Maybe because I have to hang on to every word, but I was rolling my eyes at John Calipari press conferences when we were in Final Fours. I mean, I've been exhausted with these for a long time, but right now that you're losing, they actually matter a little more. It used to just be an eye roll and he's being cute, but now it's like, wait a minute, I'm upset and that's not helping at all.
A new person decided to run for governor yesterday. Somerset Mayor something Keck. What's his first name? Allen, maybe?
Don't know.
You don't know the Somerset
Mayor? You
have mayor?
The key in your car. Is it on there, the key to the city?
See, yeah. I think it was a different mayor that gave me that one.
What's his name? What's stops Alan working Keck? When you get a new mayor?
Yeah, they change the locks everywhere.
Yeah.
When you get a new mayor, they change the locks. And so my key doesn't work anymore. Yeah. Alan Keck, he's running for governor, and he now joins a very crowded field.
Yeah.
You have, Andy Beshear will be the Democratic nominee. The Republican nominee is Kelly Kraft, Ryan Quarles, Daniel Cameron, Savannah Maddox, Alan Keck, and Mike Harmon. Already six candidates, and Matt Bevin hasn't even decided yet.
When do you think that'll come?
Well, it's got to be soon. We have a very early filing deadline in Kentucky. You have to file by, like, January 20th or something. So you have to, you have to do it very, very early.
Uh-huh.
So,
we're going to need a lot of microphones for
this. But here's the thing about this. Yeah, we will. I said this before. With so many candidates, you can get the nomination with very few votes. Like, you could get the nomination with, 25% of the votes. So it's not going to be so much somebody that has a huge group of people. You can win as long as you have a very committed.
Yeah.
The more people that enter, the more chance you get a bizarre upset. I mean, just look at history. Donald Trump was the nominee because there were so many candidates. Matt Bevin was the nominee because there were so many candidates. I think the same thing is here true, Ryan, as well.
I agree with you. That's what makes it a little interesting for guys like me that have no interest in it, just watch how that plays out.
Ryan's got a good nose for picking upsets. You got to fill any?
Yeah, who's your favorite? Who's the morning line odds for you to be the Republican nominee for governor?
I think at this moment, I think I'd have to put Kelly Kraft as the favorite. But coming up hard and strong on the outside is Daniel Cameron. So I think that's going to be the two favorites.
You know, Shannon, this is why. What good does it do to get Ryan Lemon to voice over your ads if he won't even pick you?
Right.
He did Mike Harmon endorsements, and he won't even pick him, and he literally has voiced his ass.
Doesn't even believe in his own endorsement.
Yeah, literally. He can't even put his own endorsement in the top two.
Well, the checks stop coming. He doesn't have to anymore.
True, and you know that was for when he ran for treasurer.
Auditor.
He doesn't even know what he's running for.
I got a free T-shirt out of it.
Oh, well, yo, there you go.
Now the truth comes out.
Now you got a free T-shirt. Why wouldn't you have read it?
I'm going to find it. I'm going to wear it tomorrow.
Wow. You got a free T-shirt.
Yep.
Well, there
Mike
you
Carmen
go.
Mike Carmen for treasure, and they marked it out.
So let me ask you a question. Will you go on record as saying the first candidate to give you a T-shirt you will endorse this time, or is it too serious?
No. First one that gives me a T-shirt, I'm in.
We have a race.
So you're going to look Andy Beshear or Kelly Kraft in the eye and say, no, Savannah Maddox gave me a T-shirt?
Well, I thought we were just talking just the Republicans, just the Republican candidates.
So you'll say you'll do it for the Republican primary. You're making no promises for the general.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So first person,
uh-huh.
Is it to get you to endorse or to give you a T-shirt?
I think they got to get me a T-shirt, and when you ask me that question again, I'll slide that name in the conversation.
So first person to get Ryan a T-shirt.
Wow,
this is
endorsement. This is for a T-shirt.
I feel like this might be illegal.
No, he's being very transparent. Very transparent.
You're basically saying you can buy your vote, or not your vote. You don't vote in the Republican primary. You can just buy your sort of support.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm willing. And I'll tell you this: if it's a hoodie. Then you really got me. Hoodie's going to go a long way.
All right, so there we go. The candidates. Hey, look. Daniel Cameron, Kelly Kraft, Ryan Quarles, Savannah Maddox, Alan Keck, Mike Harmon. It's been laid down.
Yep.
First one to bring Ryan a hoodie or a T-shirt. By the way, Mexico-Poland's about to kick off. I don't want to miss the pick. You've been so hot. Mexico and Poland, who you got?
Well, I really studied a lot about this morning, and
there's one more candidate, Eric Dieter. I don't know who that is.
I don't know, but if you raise me a hoodie, it could be one of my favorites.
If you're Keck or someone that's probably a long shot, I'm in the car right now with a hoodie.
See, I would too. If I'm Keck, Dieter, who is Eric Dieter? I don't know who that is, seriously. No, does anybody know who that is? Dieter. Hmm. Well, you should bring a shirt.
Bring a shirt.
All right, back to Mexico, Poland.
This TV right in front of me has been on the previews and stuff, and all they've done is show the Mexican fan base all dressed up and dancing and hopping around. So they got the juice. So I'm going with the Mexican team to win this.
You're going the Mexican juice.
Yep, Mexican
juice. All
right,
so you got Mexico over Poland.
Yeah.
We're not going to be happy.
Oh, that's right.
Ooh. Yeah.
But our neighbors next door at Jalapenos, I saw them. They're already
that's
fired
true.
Up
you got
for this.
Jalapenos versus, versus Woo.
I'm going Jalapenos. Don't tell Woo.
All right, we won't. Who's next, Shannon?
Casey.
Casey, how are you, Casey?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Happy Tuesday. I just wanted to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody. And then there's so much going on. I just wanted to take a couple seconds and just crap on Louisville since it's Louisville Hate Week. So their city is terrible. It's super gross. Everyone hooks their horses.
That's not true. That's a part of Kentucky. I live in Louisville. That's not nice, Casey. Take it. You shouldn't say that.
Well, okay, I'll take that part back. It's not that bad. But red's a terrible color. Can we agree on that one?
I will agree on that. Real quick, finish your thing.
Okay, red is terrible, and the percentage chance that they cheat is always too silly. Happy Thanksgiving, right. Everyone. Go Cat.
Appreciate the call, Casey. Read what you just said right there.
Well, I searched Eric Dieter's. The first thing was a mugshot. I don't know if you always want that in your governor.
What's the headline you just read?
Eric Dieter's Kentucky governor candidate charged after chasing nephew who flipped him off. That was the first Google result when I just typed in his name.
He was charged after chasing. Did he flip his nephew off, or did his nephew flip him off?
All I did was type his name in Google, and that popped up.
Right,
I would encourage him to get that fixed, first of all.
I don't know that you want to endorse the guy that got arrested for chasing his flipping off nephew.
Hey, he's got some fire. I like the guy. I'd chase him, too.
Well, yeah, what if he's a snotty-nosed little nephew?
He has a YouTube show called The Bulldog Report.
Yeah, I think we stay away from that one. We'll be right back.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver. I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.